You're listening to the Chapman Cast, a podcast about religion and life.
Welcome to the Chapman Cast. My name is Pierce, and today I'm joined by Andy Dibb, the Dean of the Theological School. And today I wanted to ask him about peace and the Trinity and doubt. But before I did that, Andy, I wanted to check in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Pierce, and looking forward to the weekend and very much looking forward to doing this Chapman Cast.
I'm glad that you're looking forward to doing the Chapman Cast. I hope the weekend is also nice for you. It snowed today, which I thought was an appropriate April Fool's joke. So I saw you, I guess it was last week, give a talk at Testimonial College Chapel about peace and finding peace.
That is correct, and I thought about different ways that I experience peace and particularly came up with the idea of experiencing peace in my understanding of the nature of God.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. All peace comes from the Lord, and so for me, having an understanding of the Lord that makes sense and is in harmony with what is taught in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the writings is very important because that is the source of my peace.
Now, last week you had talked about it from a personal standpoint, where you were telling a story about being brought up with two different competing views of the Lord.
Yes. My mother is New Church, and we lived isolated from the church, and she spent a great deal of time teaching us the doctrines of the New Church. In particular, she taught us about the Lord Jesus Christ and led us to believe in him and to worship him. The problem that I ran into as an early teenager was that I went to public school. And in South Africa, public school has religion in it. The religion was taught according to the regular religion of the country. And so the concept of the Lord that I was being taught was very different from the concept that my mother taught me. My mother taught me that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one God of heaven and earth. At school, I was taught that God exists in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three different people in God. And so at about the age of 12, I started getting very confused about who God was and how God functioned. And my difficulty was whether I believed in my mother or whether I believed my teachers at school.
So you had this competing view of believing in one God or believing in a three-person God. And you've just set up the dichotomy that that was the choice. And I'm wondering if it ever occurred to you that there was a third option, that there was no God.
No, that wasn't one of my choices. I did believe in God. It was what God was like and what his nature was that caused so much problem for me. When I reached 13, I got sent to boarding school in a city about 400 miles away from where we lived. That took me out of my mother's religious orbit. And so I started going to the local Anglican church. We had to go to church as a matter of school policy. I went to the Anglican church and felt very comfortable, very at home, because their teachings, particularly about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were in harmony with what I'd been taught in elementary school and with what I read in the Bible. When I read the Bible, I would read, "Go forth and baptize all people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Or we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall never die," and other teachings like that. So to me, the Bible seemed very clearly to be teaching a relational God who is somehow a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit as three very distinct beings. And this caused me a degree of peace to go into a church that actually taught that. And so for most of my teenage years, I was a very active Anglican. But my mother didn't go away, and she was always a presence in my life. And so the issue of the nature of God never really went away either. Every time I came home on school holidays, there was my mother with her concept of Jesus Christ as the one God of heaven and earth.
Did you argue with her about it or discuss these things?
Yes, we frequently argued about it, never in a particularly hostile way. My mother, I think, was very understanding about the pickle that I was in. We just did not see eye to eye on the subject. While my mother allowed me at age 15 to be confirmed as an Anglican, this really wasn't something that she particularly wanted. And I had a way of irritating her in my later teenage years by telling her that if I died, I wanted to be buried with full Anglican rites, knowing full well that she'd probably call the local new church minister to bury me with full new church rites. It was a bit of a contention. My mother was not a particularly argumentative person when it came to religion, but it was always there. And it stayed that way right through. I finished high school. I moved back up to Johannesburg. As I grew older, so my discussions with my mother began to develop somewhat. The things that she was saying, the concept of the Trinity as she described it, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the soul, body, and operation of a person, began to make more sense to me than the concept of the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three separate persons. And so I began to examine, I think, the ideas in more depth than I had as a younger child.
Now, it sounds like through all this, you have that one person that's a new church influence, but that everything else in your life and in your culture is very much Anglican or Trinitarian. How did you move away from that? Like, how did that change?
To a large degree, it was my mother. A lot of my mother's relatives are new church. The organized church actually had very little to do with it because we were isolated. One of the touching points for me was that there were other issues in new church doctrine that were also appealing to me, issues that the Anglican church couldn't answer. For example, things about life after death. And I was also quite intrigued with the internal sense of the Bible. Having been a Christian through most of my high school years, I was somewhat familiar with the Bible, but not always satisfied with it. So there were other aspects as well, but the Trinity issue was one that stayed with me for quite a long time. When I was 20 years old, was the first time I really ran into a new church minister. He helped me a great deal with a lot of understanding and basically convinced me that the teachings of the new church were true and right. The problem was that I still did not have a clear understanding about the Trinity. As they talked about the Trinity, I came to the point where I could see it in the new church concept, but that disappeared as soon as I started reading the New Testament. And so if I read the New Testament, I couldn't see the new church doctrine. And if I read the writings, I couldn't see the Old Testament. So I still had two concepts of God in my mind at that particular point.
What changed or what happened in your life to bring about some kind of resolution?
Well, for many years, since from the time I was about 16, I wanted to be a minister. And my initial idea was that I'd be an Anglican minister. Once I got more and more involved in the new church, even though I didn't have my concepts of the Trinity sorted out, I started thinking that I'd much rather be a new church minister. So I decided to come to Brynathyn to college and study for the ministry. And it was while I was in college that I was in a literature class, and the professor was talking about substance and form of poetry. And an almost offhand comment, he said, "And that's just the way it is with the Trinity. The substance is the Father, and the form is the Son." And it was like a light going off in my head. All of a sudden, the whole thing fell into place, and I was able to see the relationship of the Father and the Son from a New Testament perspective, married with the concept of the New Church perspective, with Jesus Christ being the form in whom is the substance of the Father. And so for the first time, the whole thing came together for me.
You talked about this at the beginning, how it was related to a sense of peace. Can you describe what it was about life that wasn't peaceful? I mean, it sounds like you had this intellectual disagreement in your head, but is that really about peace?
It absolutely is. The writings tell us that the idea of God informs every other idea that we have. And if your idea of God is disrupted in some way, then everything else is going to be disrupted. So as a young man who wanted to worship God, I found that I was always having difficulty. If I worship God in one way, there's a part of me that says, no, it should be the other way. So my mother's voice never went away when I was in the Anglican church, and the Anglican church voice never went away when I was with my mother. And the end result was I didn't really have a God that I could turn to as the source of my peace. So it wasn't purely an intellectual or academic exercise. It really was, who do I pray to? Who do I converse with? Who is my God and my Savior? Is he the second person of a Trinity, or is he the one God of heaven and earth? Sorting that out brought me a sense of peace, because for the first time in my life, I was able to say, now I can see God and leave this conflict that had been part of my religious experience, leave it behind, and that brought me a sense of peace.
Yeah, I can imagine if you have a conflicting view of the person who is God. When it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're feeling despair and you're looking to turn to God, if you don't know who that is or what that is, there you sit in despair, all alone. It's horrific in a sense. In this process, looking back, how important was it that your mom took the approach that she did? She didn't seem to be overbearing, and she let you confirm yourself in Anglicanism. I can imagine a lot of moms wouldn't do that.
I think my mother had the ability to decide when to lose a skirmish and win the war. But I think it was very important because she never put me in a situation, or seldom put me in a situation, in which I was defending the other side. I never had to go on the defense against the new church and the embracing of the Trinitarian doctrine. I think when a person defends a doctrine, and I think my mother understood this very well, they are much more prone to making it a part of themselves. In other words, they appropriate it. And I think by playing it cool, so to speak, she actually made it so that I didn't appropriate perhaps quite as deeply as I would have if it had been a struggle between the two of us.
I wonder about some people who have chosen to not believe in God, being raised in a religious environment. And I wonder how much they feel attacked or the need to defend their atheism or even just agnosticism. Thinking about that, I wonder how to approach them, how to bring up the concept of a belief in God in a way that doesn't make them feel defensive unnecessarily, but still challenges them to really consider the idea and how it has an effect on their well-being and in their life and in their emotions and in all their relationships.
I think one of the things that's important for me is that in dealing with agnostics and atheists, and I've dealt with both, really not to put them in a situation where they have to defend their agnosticism or atheism. And the reason for that is that when people defend things, it becomes part of them. Much more important for me is for me to present the positive effects of believing in the Lord in my own life. And those effects are tremendous. You know, we've been talking about a sense of peace. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to have peace when tax time comes around or when, you know, when things in the natural world intrude. But there is a sense of peace in knowing that there is a God, that he is one, and that he is intimately involved in all the details of one's life. And that's the sort of thing that I try to convey to people, rather than challenging them on their particular stance. I don't like arguing religion with people because I don't think you ever win. At best, I have someone I know who is an agnostic, and we basically come to the agreement that I will believe what I'm going to believe and he will believe what he's going to believe. I don't think I'm ever going to convert him. But I don't think that, at least I hope I haven't, caused him to become more agnostic as a result of talking to me. At least he maybe has a sense of hope that there is a God and that at least someone has a sense of peace as a result of it.
I want to return now to this concept of the Trinity, the idea that there are these three persons and from that there's somehow one God. I've seen a lot of people who say, I was raised Catholic or I was raised Christian, But now I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And I wonder how much of that is because those religions are teaching such a confusing concept of God. And since for me, the Father and Jesus are one, then I can have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. But if I thought of them as different people, I guess it would be so confusing to me. I guess I would become agnostic if that was the choice. Is there a way that we can reach out to those people when they've got those biases against you because of their experience with Christianity in their youth?
One of the things that I like to point out is that the New Church concept of God is very different from the Orthodox concept of God. It's very important to have a foundational idea of a loving and wise God as opposed to the God who's angry and punishing. It's formational also to be able to go directly to God and not have to go to God by means of his son and pray through someone else as an intercessor. So in trying to work with people who don't believe in God or who have had a negative reaction to Christianity, one of the things that I try to do is to indicate that God is different from that, that God is loving and kind and that he's visible to us. We can actually have a concept of God being in this world and walking amongst people in this world. Not his son doing that or someone standing in place of him, but him himself. So I think the idea of God, as I said earlier, informs every idea that we have. The challenge is that if people have a difficulty with religion, very often it doesn't matter what you're going to say. If their difficulty is masking a lack of belief or an unwillingness to believe, then in one sense it doesn't matter what they're going to say. They're always going to not believe. And so I think it's important to put that aside and always put out what you believe and be true to what it is that you believe.
Well, thank you, Andy, for joining us today and telling us what you believe. And thank you, listeners, for listening to another episode of The Chapman Cast.
Content on The Chapman Cast is owned by its hosts and interview guests. Find us online at newchurchperspective.com/chapmancast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes and tell your friends. We welcome your feedback in the comments section of the website. Thank you for listening.